الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء آمنت بالله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين My dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. It is really a great honor for myself to be here in your midst this evening to have discussion about Hazrat Hakim ul Ummah Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahab Thani قدس الله تعالى سره. I am getting old and therefore I am always reluctant to undertake long journeys. But when my brother Yahya wrote to me that he is going to have a special meeting or a series of meetings about Hakim ul Ummah Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahab Thani Qaddasallahu Ta'ala and his teachings and the work, the formidable work he has done, then I could not help myself accepting this invitation. Because Hakim ul Ummah Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahab Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh has always been my ideal since my very childhood. And the more I read about him, the more I studied his books, his work, my love for this great person has been increasing. Unfortunately, I had no occasion to see or to meet Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahab Thani Rahmatullahi Alayh. Because he had expired before 3 months before I was born. he expired in the month of Rajab. And I was born 3 months later in Shawwal. So I was not fortunate to see him, but I have been hearing about him since very childhood from my late father, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahab, Rahmatullahi Alayh. Because my father used to cite the sayings of Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayh every now and then, day and night, on many occasions, and he used to teach us about Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayh. So, this meeting that has been convened not only for the memory of Hazrat Maulana Thanvi, but also to know and to produce the great work he has done for this Ummah. Unfortunately, out of the subcontinent of India, Pakistan and Bangladesh, very few people know about it. And it is our fault that we were not able to convey his messages, and his teachings outside the subcontinent of India. We were not able to translate his books. We were not able to render his great mawa'idh to any other language. And that is why the people outside the subcontinent were deprived of the benefit that could be drawn from these great works. So it is very encouraging that Alhamdulillah this series of meetings is being held to introduce the basic teachings and the basic work of Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullahi. In fact, it is not possible in a single meeting to discuss the huge work done by Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullahi. But I would concentrate on some of the aspects of the work done by Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullahi. As many of you know, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullahi was educated in Darul Uloom of Deoband. And when he studied in Darul Uloom of Deoband, he was the pupil of Hazrat Shaykh ul Hind Maulana Mahmood ul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh and many great ulama. And while studying there, he concentrated himself to get education and did not turn to any other. He had many relatives in the same town of Deoband, but he never went there and concentrated himself to get education. After which he was appointed as a teacher, as a professor in General Room in Kanpur. And therefrom, the great preaching spread all over India. Then, beginning from because when we speak of Islamic studies, first of all, there is a tafsir of Quran, secondly, hadith, احادیث اب رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Thirdly, Islamic jurisprudence and Islamic fiqh. And fourthly, the tazkiyah or ihsan or tariqat or tasawwuf, by whatever name you call it. Hazrat Maulana Shafii Sahib Thani Rahmatullah Alayh has formidable work on all these, in all these spheres. As for tafsir of the Quran, he has the wonderful tafsir of Bayan al Quran, although written in Urdu language, and sometimes it is presumed that being in Urdu, it addresses the needs of the common people. But I quote Hazrat Maulana Anwar Shah Sahib Kashmiri Rahmatullah Alayh. Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah Alayh, an ocean of knowledge, such a great person, about whom Maulana Shabbir Ahmad Sahib Usmani Rahmatullah Alayh used to say that perhaps no book has been left by Maulana Anwar Shah Kashmiri, but he has underwent the study of that book. And Hazrat Maulana Ashrafuddin Sahib Thani Rahmatullah Alayh himself used to say that when Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri comes before me, I feel a sense of awe of the knowledge he has. Allama Anwar Shah Sahib Kashmiri Rahmatullah Alayh used to say about Bayan al Quran, the tafsir written by Maulana Ashrafuddin Sahib Thani Rahmatullah, that this tafsir is not for laymen or common people. This is beneficial for the ulama, and the real value of this tafsir comes out when a person goes through all the tafsir, Arabic tafsir, and then he turns to Bayan al-Quran, he will find that Maulana Ashrafuddin Sahib Thani Rahmatullah Alayh has summarized the basic principles and basic interpretation of the Holy Quran, which makes one needless to turn to other tafsir. So this is what he has done about the tafsir of Holy Quran. Another aspect which I have noticed, because I used to study his mawa'idh and his lectures or his dissertations, I always keep one of his mawa'idh on the side of my bed. And before sleeping, I at least read one page from the mawa'idh. So by going through the mawa'idh, I noticed that when he quotes an ayah of Holy Quran and then explains that ayah, sometimes the explanation given by him and the details of the ayah given by him in his mawa'idh is not found even in Bayan al-Quran. And they are so elaborative and so valuable for a seeker of knowledge that I try to collect all these passages from the Sir mawa'idh. And alhamdulillah, this was published in 4 volumes in the name of Ashraful Tafsir. So if you come to that, you will find that the fine points given by Hazrat Maulana Ashrafuddin Sahib Thani Rahmatullah Alayh during his mawa'idh are not found in any tafsir. And it is perhaps Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through his ilham and inspiration, you know, gave him some points of about the delicate subject of the Quran, of the Holy Quran. So there is, this is another aspect of his service to the tafsir of Holy Quran. Turning to the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has been teaching all the books of ahadith for several years in Jannarum, Kanpur, and then in Thanagavan also. But his great work that he has undertaken and was completed by his pupil Bhagavata Swami Ramaswale is Alau Sunan, which has two introductions, detailed in the introduction. Introduction, the life of which you will never find in any other book. Turning to the Islamic script, he has been writing Fatawa and Imdadul Fatawa. Imdadul Fatawa is the collection of his Fatawa, Fatawa he has delivered throughout his life. It has been published in 6 volumes. And the ulama can really appreciate the valuable discussions about very delicate subject of fiqh. And alhamdulillah, it has been a book of reference for all the muftis, knowing Urdu speaking or who know Urdu and can benefit from Urdu language. Although it is also in Urdu, but it is of benefit for the ulama, for all ulama throughout the world. So these are some, basic words of Hazrat Maulana Thani Rahimahullah about the branches of knowledge that are called ulum wa zawahir. But the renovative work rendered by Hazrat Maulana Kabir Thani was about tasawwuf and tazkiyah and asan. The days in which Hazrat Maulana Kabir Thani started his work, in those days there were two extremes about the concept of tasawwuf or tariqat. Some people argued that tasawwuf has nothing to do with Sharia. He has no source in either in the Holy Quran or in the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is just innovation, a bid'ah, innovated by some Sufis. And tasawwuf has nothing to do with the Holy Quran or Sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Maulana Thani Rahmatullah was explained the basic sources of the tasawwuf from the Holy Quran and Sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was another extreme in the very day, and particularly in many parts of India, where the tasawwuf was actually a bid'ah. Because the tasawwuf was perceived to be something over and above the ulum al-Quran or ulum al-Sunnah. Sufis were called the people who did not pay any heed to the dictate of Holy Quran and Sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said that it is enough for a person to purify his heart, and this purification, for that purification, they adopted some ways that were quite against the dictates of Sharia. They have concentrated and they said that tasawwuf or tariqah is only some some dreams or such or ilham or karamat, etc. And this way they have totally distorted the basic concept of tasavvuf. The basic work of Hazrat Bala Asafari Thani Rahmatullah Alayhi was that he brought to the light the basic concept of tasavvuf as derived from the Holy Quran. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then sent the messenger, sent the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He told the people that he has been sent for four objectives. Yatlu alayhim ayat. Wa yu'allimuhum al-kitab wal-hikmah. Kitab wal-hikmah. Wa yuzakkihim. It means that only recitation of the Quran is not enough. Only having the knowledge of the meaning of the Quran is not enough. Only having the wisdom is not enough. But there is something over and above these things that is needed for purification of the Ummah. That is called Tazkiyah. What was this Tazkiyah? This Tazkiyah, in fact, refers to the same thing about which the Tasawwuf is speaking. And to explain it a little bit, is that the act prescribed by the Holy Quran and Sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are of two kinds. Some acts relate to our outward actions that are visible, that can be seen, that can be perceived. For example, performing salah. This is an act that can be seen, can be is visible act. Or keeping fast, or paying zakah, or performing hajj or umrah. All these acts are visible. Physically visible. These are called al-amal al-zahira. Outward acts. But at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran has ordered us to has prescribed for us certain acts that are not visible. That relate to our inward quality. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to keep patience. وَفْجِرْ وَمَا صَبْرُكَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ يَا الَّذِينَ عَمَرُ اصْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا وَرَابِطُوا. Sabr is something that cannot be visible, cannot be performed through our outward body. It is something inherent in our heart. So this type of ahkam are called al-amal al-baqiya. So purifying one's heart through these amal al-baqiya is called tazkiyah. And this tazkiyah was done by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the whole Sahaba, and Sahaba did it for their own people. Tabi'in and so on. So, tasawwuf actually means to purify one's inner qualities, akhlaq. And it can be explained to put it another way. We have in our body some organs, limbs, etc., some parts of our body. And the beauty of our body, beauty of our body comes through at the dark. Yani, something should be, for example, if a person is very tall, feel a beautiful person. Or if his nose is too big, or his ears are too big, he cannot be called a beautiful person. So, this is the beauty of our outward body. But this outward body is called in Arabic as khalq. Khalq. But there are some aspects of our life that are not visible. They are in our heart, which are called in Arabic as khulq. The first part is khalq, and the second part is khulq. And the beauty of both these things is needed for a perfect person. Therefore, Rasulullah has teached us that when you stand before a mirror and see your own face in the mirror, what should you say? Allahumma ahsanta khalqi fa ahsin khulqi. Allah, you have beautify my outward body, so therefore may Allah make my inner body, inner qualities also beautiful. After the khalqi fa ahsin khulq. So ihsanul khulq, yani ihsanul khulq, yani beautify one's inner qualities, is the essence of the khalq. For example, if a person is arrogant, he has arrogance in his heart, his khuluq is not in atadar, his khuluq is not good. If a person has jealousy against others, so his inner quality is not good, his khuluq is not good. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited for us to have liquor, to eat pork. In the same manner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited for us to be jealous, to be arrogant, and to show off riya-kari. All these qualities are prohibited. So the tasawwuf means to purify one's inner quality in a way in which he is totally obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has neither arrogance, nor jealousy, nor riya-kari. So he should have ikhlas, that is sincerity, when performing any act of virtue. And then he must be polite before others. He must have the sense that he should not be a cause of trouble for any other person. All these inner qualities are the subject matter of the knowledge of the tasawwuf and tariqah. Hazrat Maulana Asaf Ali Shah Thani Rahmatullah Alayh, through his book and through his writing and through his mobile, has enlightened both aspects of the tasawwuf. He has refuted those who used to say that the tasawwuf is something alien to Sharia, something foreign to Sharia, something against Sharia. And for that purpose, he has written the book Masail al-Suluk min Kalam Malik al-Muluk, in which he has inferred the Masail of Tasawwuf from the Holy Quran. And he has attested bimaribati ahadith al-Tasawwuf, in which he has quoted those ahadith that enlighten us about the problems of the tasawwuf. And I think this is a book that the translation of which has been launched and has been rendered in English by Yusuf Darajo, Abdullah Ta'ala. So on the one hand, he proved that the tasawwuf is not something against Sharia or something over and above Sharia. It is a part of Sharia. It is a part of the teachings of the Holy Quran and Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the other part, he, through his Bala'i and through his book and through his Majalis, he explains how to achieve these inner qualities that are required by tasawwuf. And he has removed many misunderstandings or misconceptions about tasawwuf. For example, he used to say that one basic requirement of tasawwuf is that a person should not be a cause of any trouble to any other person. And I recall that my elder brother, Muhammad Zaki Kaifi, rahimahullah ta'ala, when he was young and he learned to write, so my father, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Ahmad Shafi Sahab rahmatullah alayh, instructed him to write the first letter to Hazrat Maulana Khan. So when he learned how to write, the first letter he wrote to Hazrat Maulana Khan. But obviously, he was learning how to write, so his writing was not so good. So when the letter reached Hazrat Maulana Khan, he replied the letter and encouraged him and said that I was pleased to know that you have now learned how to write. May Allah give you barakah. But at the same time, I advise you to improve your life style. And after saying this, he said that you improve your writing style with the intention that the reader may not have trouble in reading your letter. Make this intention while you are learning how to write. And then the last sentence was, "Dekho, main tumhe abhi se sufi bana raha hu. Look, I am making you a sufi from the very beginning." So, you know, if a normal, common man who does not know about tasawwuf, he thinks that tasawwuf is only to have muraqabah and test and ilham and sitting on the musalla and making zikr, etc. But he has does not understand what is the relevance of tasawwuf or sufi from writing a good, you know, improving his writing. But from that letter he told that it is tasawwuf. That if you write something and improve your writing with the intention that the reader may not have trouble, then this intention makes this an act of worship. This intention makes the whole thing an ibadah. On which, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you a reward. So, his way of training people was that the basic essence of the tasawwuf is to make oneself away from creating any trouble for any person. And this is exactly what the Sufi Ikram has said. Tariqat badu khidmat-e khalq ne, ye tasbih ho sajjada ho khalq ne, tariqat badu khidmat-e khalq ne. Ya tariqa kya hai dosto, wo is not tasbih, is not sajjada, musalla. the soul is not wearing a particular type of clothes. Tariqat badul khidmat hai, khalq nahi. Tariqat is to serve the people. To render services to the people. And to make oneself khadim. Make oneself khadim of all other people. This is the essence of the tasawwuf. So, he explains the tasawwuf in a way that the tasawwuf has become a part of our life. Part of our life from the morning to the evening. Every act done by a Muslim with good intention and adopting the proper way of doing it according to the Sunnah of Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is tasawwuf. And therefore Hazrat Maulana Thani Rahmatullah Alayh used to say that when someone becomes my murid, you know, murid who breaks back of the tasawwuf on my hand, and I come across some of his thoughts about the zikr or shagl or muraqabah. So I do not pay much attention to it. But if I come across a person who is my murid and still he makes trouble for others, then I used to hate that person. Once Hazrat Maulana Thani Rahmatullah Alayh made a person a khalifa of him. You know, khalifa, that he has given ijazah to him to make bath, to take bath of others. That khalifa once came to him, traveling to Thana Bhavan, and came along with his child and presented that child before Hazrat Maulana Thani, that I have brought this child in order to seek dua about this child. Please make dua for him. Hazrat Maulana Thani Rahmatullah Alayh made dua for him. May Allah give him barakah. Then he asked the khalifa, what is the age of this child? He said, his age is 13 years. Hazrat Maulana Thani Rahmatullah Alayh asked him, did you purchase a full ticket for him? Did you purchase a full ticket of railway ticket for him? Or half of the ticket? He said, a half of the ticket. He said, why? Because according to the rules, if a child is above 12 years, he starts full fare of the transport. How do you? He said, you know, in fact I did not pay attention to it, and he looks like young and 12 years. Hazrat Maulana Thani Rahmatullah said to him, I withdraw my khilafa. Because he said, Maulana, aapko tasawwuf ki hawa bhi nahi lagi. And you did not even have the air of tasawwuf. Because tasawwuf is to comply with all the dictates of Sharia. This train is not yours. Train is owned by someone else. He has made some rules. You must abide by those rules. If you violate those rules, this is against Sharia. And whatever is against Sharia is against tasawwuf. So in this way, Hazrat Maulana Thani Rahmatullah used to train people. And because this is, in fact, purchasing, you know, a lesser ticket, this is because of the love of maal, hubbul maal. But for this hubbul maal, that person should have purchased a full ticket. Once Mahana Asabai Sanu Ramdurale was traveling from Saharanpur to Kanpur, perhaps to Kanpur. So he used, if he had some baggage over and above the authorized rate, he used to go to the relevant office and pay the extra fare for the baggage. So he was standing in the line along with his baggage. So a fellow, a railway officer, he used to be Hindu, very popular, railway officer. He knew Hazrat Mahana Khan, knew his piety. So when he saw him standing in the line, he came to him and asked him, Mahana, where are you staying here? Standing here. Mahana said that I have some extra baggage I want to pay. He said, no, no, why do you are paying this extra amount? I am the officer and I exempt you from that. So Mahana said, how are you exempting me? When I board the train, then there will be another officer who will ask me that this baggage is extra. He said, no, don't worry about it. I'll tell the guard of the train. He will not, you know, object on your extra baggage. He said, but that guard, up to what station, up to what town he will accompany us? He said, he will be to a particular station. And what will happen after that? He said, after that he will tell his successor, and he will not object on me. He said, then what? When when I reach Kanpur, then the people will ask me, you have extra baggage. He said, the guard will tell the Kanpur officer and they will relieve you. Then what will happen after that? Nothing to happen after that. You will be relieved and will go to your destination. Mahana said, no, I have another journey after that. What is that journey? He said that after this journey, I have to go to my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who will save me from there? So, this was the way of thinking of Hazrat Mahana Asabai Thanvi about the Sangha. All these things were the Sangha. Not only just, you know, sitting alone and making zikr, etc. Making zikr, no doubt, is a great thing. But it is not the basic objective of the Sangha. It is something to help one to refrain from sin. It is something rewardable with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the main thing is to purify one's inner quality. Al-Qulubul Hasan. And for that purpose, he had a khanqa in Khanabhavan, where all the people used to come and stay. And he used to oversee each and every heart of everybody and you should train them about that. Then he, you know, sometimes I feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses a person for the service of his deen, then each and every minute of his life becomes beneficial for the ummah. Sometimes I feel that it is reported by all the Khulafa Hazrat Mahana Asabai Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh, that he used to have a majlis, a sitting after Zohar. And during that visit, he used to receive the letters from his followers or from his brief and used to write, reply them. The people are staying, sitting before him, and he is reading the letters and replying to those letters. And while replying to those letters, because the people who wrote him letters used to ask him many questions, questions about Sharia, questions about Fiqhi, Masail, questions about Tasawwuf, questions about Tafsir, questions about Hadith, etc. So used to write. So when he said that question is such that this reply will benefit me, those present here, I used to say that a person has asked me this question and I am writing his reply in these words. And by the way of replying that question, he used to say many principles of tasawwuf, many principles of sharia, etc. This was his, one of his maamulat from in the hand of the Tanabaka. So sometimes I feel that when he wrote the letter, replied the letter, and explained them before those present, at the same time, four books were being prepared. Because the questions relating to fiqh and the fatwa given by him, that was classified separately and was published in Mundadul Fatawa, 6th volume. Whatever he explained before the gold present were recorded by in writing, and those are published in the case of Malfuzat, 20 volume of Malfuzat, same masjid. The questions relating to tasawwuf and the different questions asked by those who were training themselves to Hazrat Maulana Thanvir Abdullah Ali, he used to reply their questions, and those replies are combined in Tarbiyatul Salik, 3 volumes. And Tarbiyatul Salik is a unique book that has no parallel at all throughout the history. Because previously, when a sheikh received questions from his murid, he used to reply them either orally or in writing, but nobody recorded them. Hazrat Maulana Thanvir Abdullah Ali said that all these replies were, you know, committed to writing, and then were classified according to the subject. For example, there is a chapter of Ikhlas, how to achieve Ikhlas, what is the meaning of Ikhlas, how to achieve it, what is against Ikhlas, what is not against Ikhlas. This is a chapter in Tarbiyatul Salik. Another chapter about, for example, Shukr is an act, is an inner quality, is an act of Ibadah. So what is Shukr? And how to tell Shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is against Shukr? All these are in a separate chapter. Jealousy, arrogance, riyakari, all these things have been classified, and the replies given by Hazrat Maulana Thanvir Abdullah Ali to his murids about those were collected in a single book that is called Tarbiyatul Salik. And unfortunately, it has not yet been translated in into any other language. Otherwise, it is a masterpiece in the Tawhid. Because it tells you each and every aspect faced by a person, by a speaker of the Tawhid. It deals with all relevant things. So, this has come out of that majlis of after God. Jindad al-Fatawa, Jindad al-Talib, Manzura. All these things through that majlis. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him tawfiq to explain all these matters. And then his mawaid, used to deliver speeches for reformation of oneself. Islam, mawaid. And it was through the strength given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he sometimes delivered a lecture for 7 hours constantly. 7 hours constantly. Without any break. From after Fajr up to Zohar. Standing. And sometimes his lectures were of 3 hours, 4 hours. 2 hours, at least 2 hours. And this was a time where there was no tape recorder, no recorder were available. But there were people who wrote those mawaid simultaneously. And those mawaid are now published in 20 volumes. Each volume has 10 mawaid. And it was Hazrat Maulana Thani Rahmatullah Alayh's style that he never spoke about a particular subject asked by the people. He used to say that I do not prepare my vows. I got to prepare my vows or my lecture. When I sit or stand for delivering lecture, I ask my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please give me give me tawfiq to say such things that may be beneficial for the audience. And then the flow of subject came and strange aspects that were never heard of were delivered by Hazrat Maulana Thani Rahmatullah Alayh. But at the same time he used to say that it is only Allah's tawfiq. It is only Allah's tawfiq. I have no knowledge. I have no piety. This is Allah's tawfiq that he puts in my heart. Those things that are beneficial for me. Audience. Once there was a big assembly, big majma, and he was invited to deliver what? He stood up, he himself tells this story that I stood and he used to recite the khutbah, the same khutbah as I have recited right now. So he said that I recited the khutbah. And normally when I recited khutbah, ayah of Holy Quran used to come to my heart and I started explaining. But at that time, while reciting khutbah, no ayah came to my mind. Then an ayah, I recited an ayah of Holy Quran. And I was under the impression that I will explain this ayah. And during that explanation, inshallah, there will come something that may benefit the audience. But he said that I translated the word of the Quran, but nothing came to my mind. Second, I translated it again, for the second time. Nothing came. Hurry! And after that, I felt that it is not Allah's will at this moment that I deliver it. So I told the audience frankly that although I have recited this ayah, translated, but nothing is coming to my mind to say. So therefore I apologize and waqtu dawana alhamdulillah. Because the main purpose was to give nasiha with ikhlas, sincerity. Not because he was showing himself as a lecturer or as a wise or as an alim. When the mind was stopped, then he stopped the lecture and just went away. So this type of person, when he renders his services with ikhlas for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to show himself as alim or as wise or as sufi, so then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows his mercy on him, bestows the ulum to him, and then those ulum benefit to him. And this was exactly, this is what exactly happened with Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahab Thani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. Now, unfortunately, even in our day, and particularly in Western countries, there is a craze of Sufis. Many people, Orientalists, many people who are not even Muslim, they are writing books on Sufism. And Sufism is taken as a shield against Sharia. And there is a movement throughout the world, especially in Western countries, that they praise Sufis, they preach that one should be a Sufi. But the Sufi means, according to them, Sufi means a person who does not care about the Ahkam of Sharia. Sufi means who plays music. Sufi means who, you know, trains people in Muraqabah or yoga or something like that. And that they say that this is the purification of one's spirit. These are the spiritual things. So this has nothing to do with real Sufism. Real Sufism is what the Holy Quran and Sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All the big Sufis, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah, Muinuddin Chishti rahmatullah, Nizamul Awliya rahmatullah, Fariduddin Ghanchada rahmatullah, every big Sufi has said in so many words that Sharia is the main thing. If one doesn't follow Sharia, if he doesn't follow Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it can never be a Sufi. So my young brothers who sometimes hear about this Sufism must be aware of this misguidance that's given by those people who say that Sufi is something against Islam or against Sharia. Once, you know, I was in Darul Uloom, ambassador of a Western country visited Darul Uloom and used to visit us. So he had a visit, he has seen what is being taught in Darul Uloom. Then after that, he said, what? Mr. Taki, in fact, although you are educating people in Islamic studies, that is nice and good, but you pay more attention to Sufism. And you must promote Sufism. So ask, what kind of Sufism you do mean? He said, I said, at least there should be some music to be played in that room. So these are some spiritual matters that should be undertaken, and the people and the students should be trained. Because, you know, you have a very rich history in the subcontinent. You have a very rich culture in Sindh, in Punjab, in Karaz, etc., in frontier. And I have gone through all these cultures and found them that while they are on a tomb of a big Sufi, they make qawwali, they make play music, and they dance. So this dance and this music and this is something to improve one's spirit. And this is a spiritual thing that you should pay attention to. Then I told him that perhaps you have studied Sufism by seeing these people dancing over the tombs of the big Sufis and playing music, or perhaps you have studied some Western books on Sufism. But let me tell you what Sufism is. Then I explained to him. So he was wondering. He said, oh, I thought quite opposite of this. I thought that this Sufism is something spiritual and it has nothing to do with the outer act of this. So if someone does not follow the outer act or injunctions of the Sharia, then still he follows these things, and spiritually he calls Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while dancing, while playing music, etc., then he will be a big Sufi and he will be completing the basic objective for which the passengers came here. So this is the concept of Sufism that is being promoted intentionally sometimes. And in order to avoid the injunctions of Islam. So my young brother present here should be very careful and should be aware of this movement that is going on. If they study Maharaj Sabani Kami Ramtullah, they will find the true essence of the Sabbath, inshallah. But I would advise them that if they read the books of Maulana Kabir Thanvi, because Maulana Kabir Thanvi has an academic style, so therefore they should read it with the help of a sheikh, so that they may fully understand what is meant by Hazrat Maulana Kabir Thanvi Rahmatullah. With these few words, I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He may give us guidance and may us understand the true spirit of Islam.